And you're listening to radio station WBAI in New York, where the time is just about 7 o'clock. That means, once again, it's time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Oh, Billy Bomb for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood.
Good evening, everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on the post Hope number 6 program. And wow, we're recovering slowly but surely. We have a full cast of characters here. Let's start. I can't see everybody in the studio. We're going to be calling a few people as well and sort of reminiscing over what happened over the weekend. Of course, we want to hear from you, the listeners and hopefully attendees of the conference, to tell us what you thought of the whole thing. That's Arsene. You're over there in Jim's seat, it looks like.
Yeah, hi.
How you doing? And Autojack, I see you over there.
Yo, what's up?
Visiting from California. Mike.
Hi.
And Redbird.
Good evening.
I'll get to you. Lynn is here.
Hello.
And there you are, Jim.
Hello.
Is anybody on the phone?
No one's on the phone.
Okay, we're trying to reach Bernie S., but he's MIA, so we don't know what has become of him. This happens after Hope. People go missing, and you don't know. You lose days. You wake up, it's suddenly Friday, and you owe all these bills and things. Everybody's mad at you.
I left him a message explaining how to answer the phone, so maybe he'll retrieve that, and then we'll be all set.
Well, you know, knowledge does get lost sometimes at the conferences, too.
Yeah.
Other people, please step up to the microphone. Kevin, number two, is here. I'm sorry. Should I not be calling you that? Because you were a number two at the conference, and your name is Kevin.
That's fine.
And that's how you introduce yourself in social engineering, I think.
He's not the Kevin that was not at the conference.
No. In fact, I just talked to the Kevin who was not at the conference, and he's also not in the country. But we'll get to that in a second. Kevin, I said he's a number two. I should point out, everybody at the conference who was a staff person was known as number two. Interesting, isn't it? And everyone else was assigned numbers. And I was assigned number six for some reason. And at the end of the conference, we found out who number one was.
Yes, we did.
We did. But enough said about that. There's Fred over there in the back. And Fred, you're responsible for all the artwork that was around the conference. And what a fantastic job you did.
Oh, thank you.
All the people wearing shirts, which I don't have. I forgot to get a volunteer shirt. I think they're all gone now. Incredible posters and shirts and just the overall wacky theme that we had. I think you inspired a lot of that. And also, you've been doing the covers this year for 2600.
Yeah, that's right. And we've still got two more to go.
Two more to go for this year. And
I like this one. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, the new issue came out last week. As if we didn't have enough to worry about, the issue came out too. And
you know, that cover came in really handy because during one of the radio talks, Lynn actually needed the coordinates for APRS, and they were right on the cover.
Oh, wow. How about this? So there's secret coordinates on the cover.
Should I not have said that?
Well, no, it's okay. It's okay.
I'm sure by now.
They're not secret anymore, but that's fine. That's fine. Okay, let's see. I'd like to make a phone call first. Let's start off by making a phone call. If you could hand me that, thank you very much. And maybe somebody could start off reminiscing about something while I'm dialing. Would that be okay? How about Mike? Why don't you just give us an overall?
You know, I told a lot of stories yesterday on Off the Wall.
Uh-huh.
Maybe someone else has a new one that
That's
I haven't
true,
told
but you
already.
You were on the phone. You weren't in the studio.
I know. I sounded a lot worse. I listened to it. What is wrong with that radio station?
I don't know. Nothing works, as opposed to this place where everything works.
Oh, okay.
Why, did it really sound that bad?
It was pretty bad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Oh, boy. Well, because not what we were saying so much, but what was the way it sounded.
The quality of the people on the telephone left something to be desired.
Well, let me just point out, your telephone also is pretty bad yourself. I mean, it's just you can't understand what you're saying half the time. But I think what you're referring to is it was cutting in and out on the board. Sometimes it was on speakerphone, sometimes it was in the board, right?
I don't know what was going on.
All right. Let's get a dial tone. And we're going to make a phone call. Arseny, you were involved in almost every aspect of the conference, so perhaps you can...
Well, we actually had a guy sell energy drinks. He was selling Jolt balls among regular drinks, like Coke and whatever. But it was interesting because Jolt has totally changed. Are you going to cut me off?
Yeah, well, I just wanted about 10 seconds of reminiscing.
Oh, okay. Well,
and you're starting a story. But hold that thought. We got a phone call in progress.
Right after, spineless Democrats can't even come up with a filibuster to keep a neo-Nazi off the Supreme Court, comes the lovely news that Halliburton's subsidiary, KBR, just got a $385 million contract on January 24th from the Department of Homeland Security for the construction of temporary detention facilities inside the United States. In case of, quote, an emergency influx of immigrants, or to support the rapid development of new programs or a natural disaster. What new programs? Speaking of Nazis, check out the new Environmental Protection Agency rules on testing pesticides on children without them or their parents' permission. Neglected or abused infants can be subjected to pesticide tests, or mentally handicapped or orphaned infants can also be used, as can children outside the U.S. in countries that have even less laws protecting human beings than this one now does. Sieg Heil, baby. The corporate Reich is here.
Jello, you have the longest answering machine message of anybody I know. If you're there, please pick up.
Hello?
Jello, how are you?
Who's this?
This is Emmanuel, and you're live on the air at WBAI.
More surveillance.
Yes. Have a good time this weekend?
Yeah. As I think I said to you, I was a little... One of my observations was there seemed to be a greater right-wing and spook presence than there had been at some of the earlier conventions, which isn't necessarily a totally bad thing. I mean, when I've done panels... for industry people on music censorship, I always ask that the religious right be represented because people won't believe me when I describe them otherwise. Mm-hmm. Although it was a little creepy when they had the privacy is dead, get over it panel, how many people who were lined up to ask questions were asking nuts and bolts shop talk stuff, strongly hinting, yeah, I'd like to get into this field and spy on people too. And then, what do I find today? Opening up the Sunday paper as I was sitting on the toilet waiting for you to call, but a front page story on a Central Valley city of Clovis, California, near Fresno, who's very proud of the fact that they're the cutting edge of keeping everyone in town under surveillance cameras. And this is the future of policing. They even have one aimed at a skate park in the park that they're thinking of putting online so parents can watch their kids and everything. Your whole generation grows up with a nanny cam throughout their whole lives. And I'm not sure this is quite where human rights should be going.
Definitely not. But listen, Jello... We're talking about the conference this hour. We have a whole studio filled with people, and I guess basically we're just trying to get a sense as to any highlights or memories that you might want to share with us, and any other thoughts like that. It was always great having you here. I think this is your third conference with us.
It's the fourth.
Fourth, my goodness.
Yep, keep dragging me back.
So apart from there being more, as you say, right-wing people there or people interested in surveillance as something they'd like to do, did you find the same receptiveness in your audience?
For the most part, yeah. A few people took off real early, but everybody else stayed. I don't know. Maybe it was my greeting to the FBI I gave at the beginning of the talk where I simply jumped up on the table and mooned them and let my butthole do the talking for a while as I manipulated it like a puppet.
Yeah, I was going to mention that, but I thought maybe I should let you mention that. But yeah, that got attention. That definitely got people's attention.
One woman who worked on the conference afterwards made a point of telling me she was offended by that, but I guess from a politically correct standpoint.
I understand T-shirts are being made of that. Is that true?
What's that?
I rumored that someone's making T-shirts of that, but I guess we'll find out soon enough.
You'd be amazed what people sell on eBay and claim it's my name or whatever. There's 24 Jello Biafras on MySpace, and none of them are me, and twice as many people claiming to be Wesley Willis, who passed away in 2003.
Wow. Well, listen, Jello, again, I know you're busy and have to get back to all the things you're doing back out there, but it's great having you. Hopefully we'll have you again at the next one. Any final messages you want to send to people?
Well, it would be the same one that I ended my talk with, in that, the Privacy is Dead panel and other things there was basically people from the other side just kind of sitting back glibly saying, no matter how smart you geeks think you are, we're a few steps ahead of you, and we can shut your ass down anytime we want. Exhibit A, Stephen Rambam being taken out by the FBI before his panel even started. And I still don't know why that was either. Somebody told me he was arrested for impersonating an FBI agent.
Well, that's what the newspaper reports are saying, but we're gonna get into that a little bit more in this hour as well.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the other thing that I talked about was, I mean, the worst form of government hacktivism against the public at large at this point is election fraud through monkeying with digital voting machines. And even Robert F. Kennedy Jr., of all people, documented just fact by fact in an article that should have gone out in the New York Times or something, went out only in the Rolling Stone, that George W. Bush and his junta stole two presidential elections, not just one. And the main weapon of Ku Klux Bush is monkeying with those voting machines. So my message to everybody out there who had the skills, okay, those machines made by Diebold in particular, where all you have to do is put in an IPC card and you can change the election results, Diebold, ES&S, Sequoia, and the others who make those things, if those machines are that easily hacked, where are the hacktivists to prove that these machines, that voting should not be privatized and voting should not be thrown into the digital cyber world where you can't have an election recount? And the way to prove that would be this fall 2006. Just imagine all these reptilian punditoids and talking head newscasters we have now all going into conniptions like Dan Rather did over Jesse Ventura when he became governor of Minnesota, just freaking out. Well, it appears that for some reason, the 12 states in a row now have elected Homer Simpson governor. That I think would shut down digital vote fraud once and for all. John Kerry had his chance to do it, and he wimped out, and Al Gore had his chance to do it and wouldn't even recognize the Congressional Black Caucus in the aisles of the Senate that certified the rigged Electoral College after the 2000 election, gave his own election away. Maybe that was his job, I don't know. But it's up to us to put a stop to this, because voting and democracy itself, is where all the other rights spring from.
All right, well, Jello, ordinarily we should talk about this for hours on end, but we do have a very limited amount of time today. But this is something that I really would like to get into in future conferences as well. We did try to get a voting machine, and hopefully next time we'll succeed in doing that, and we can play around with it. But again,
we can't wait till next time. Got to do it this fall.
All right, well, maybe we can talk about another project then. But in any event, we have to move on. But thanks so much for coming, and thanks for the speech, and just making everybody think a little bit.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Jello Biafra joining us from California. He made reference to something that happened at the conference, which definitely was one of the most interesting things. One of the most interesting things that happened at the 3-day event, and that involved Steve Rambam, who was giving a 2-hour talk called "Privacy Is Dead, Get Over It." Well, it turns out that what happened was, as we've talked about in this radio program, we had another seminar that was taking place upstairs on the sixth floor, related to Hope, but not entirely Hope series of seminars for people interested in private investigation and the tools that are used. And that went off fairly well, from what I understand. And right after that ended, and right before Steve was going to come up to the 18th floor to give the 2-hour talk, he was approached by a couple of FBI agents who whisked him away. And, needless to say, that definitely stunned the people in the entire conference space when we heard about that, because of all the people that we know, that I know, Steve is the last person you would expect something like that to happen to. And it sort of left us all kind of wondering what was going to happen next and why exactly this took place. So it was the talk of the place. There was an article in the Washington Post. There was a crazy article in the New York Post. There was all kinds of fun things going on. We're happy to say that Steve was able to be arraigned and be released on Monday. And in fact, he joins us right now. Steve, welcome. Welcome back to the free world.
Hi, Emmanuel.
Wow. We knew this was going to be a heck of a conference, but boy, this really was something else.
Well, and fortunately, the FBI cooperated with our publicity efforts.
Yeah, they sure did. They played their part perfectly.
Yeah.
But you're okay.
I'm absolutely okay.
All right. Everybody was really worried, wondering what was. We thought you might be on the way to Guantanamo or something.
Well, I shared their concern for about 30 hours.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand, since this is an ongoing case, I don't want to ask things that your lawyer might.
There's an
get
attorney that will smack me with a rolled up newspaper if I say too much. That's
but
right.
Maybe we could talk about the panel that you were going to give that the feds prevented you from giving.
And will, in fact, be given. Mm-hmm. At some point in the immediate future, I think we should talk about that a little
right.
bit.
Right. Well, now, we had a 2-hour discussion about Privacy is Dead with the panelists that had been at your seminar, and they were able to carry through pretty well from what I've heard.
Did they?
Yes.
Outstanding.
I've heard good things.
Very smart. They're very smart fellows.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. But one of the things—
they did not arrive in black helicopters like Jello Biafra seems to think.
No. No, they couldn't get landing clearance there.
Exactly.
But one of the things that that you were going to talk about, the big thing, was involved a victim, involved finding somebody.
The victim is lurking in the corner.
Is the victim lurking here?
Yeah. If this was television, you could see him. He's a rather large, imposing, scary guy.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, we were going to give him a rather impressive digital proctology exam. And amazingly, he's still willing.
He's still willing to have
He's here.
Uh-huh.
He's here.
Would you like to come up to the microphone and say something to over there? Okay, we have so many people here and so few microphones.
Rick, introduce yourself and...
Hi, my name's Rick Dakin, and apparently I like to volunteer for digital proctology.
Now, okay, the information that Rick, you gave to Steve... was your name, what you just
name and phone number.
Name and phone number. And from that, what were you able to get?
903 pages of data.
Wow.
Yeah.
Any skeletons, anything shocking? Or?
Well, I mean, Rick knows the answer to that. I'm not going to detail it. I think if we're going to do the presentation, actually put it on and go through the whole... Go through the whole seminar, I'd rather not give too much away, but yes, quite a bit.
Okay.
I was... quite startled. I had heard this show on on delay. It was Sunday night, and I emailed Steve that night after dinner, and there was an email from him when I woke up the next morning, 8 a.m. Monday, and he said, "Sure, you'll be our victim." And I said, "Great, give me a call." And he called me 45 minutes later, and the amount he knew in the 45 minutes between when I finally agreed and when he called me was sort of startling.
See, that's your problem, Steve. You scare people. You scare the wrong people
sometimes.
I am sometimes.
Just a lovable, well-armed teddy bear.
Uh-huh. Well, apparently some more well-armed people were
made nervous. Yeah, they kind of trumped me, no question. Temporarily.
Yeah. Well, I have no doubt. I have no doubt that all these articles that are appearing. Did you see the New York Post article? The headline on that was just unbelievable. What was
well,
read that out loud, Jim. That's your paper. Go ahead.
Yeah. PI in shock bust.
Shock bust.
Well, I
poised for speech.
Well, trust me, I was pretty shocked.
Uh-huh.
The truth is, when they came in, I mean, it was a seminar that was attended primarily by investigators and law enforcement. And a couple of guys came over. The two that I saw said, Steve Rombaum, yeah, well, this is we're the FBI. And honest to goodness, my reaction was, yeah, sure, take a seat. And then, of course, a large number of them appeared.
A lot? How large a number?
I think there were seven, you know, in the vests. And with
oh,
the
so I only heard three. There were seven?
No, there were seven.
Wow.
There were seven. And
they whisked you away from the sixth floor? You never actually made it to the conference?
I don't think my feet touched the ground, actually.
Wow.
It was sort of like Dick Cheney being removed to the undisclosed location.
Mm-hmm. You ever experienced anything like this before?
Not on that end of the handcuffs, no.
Yeah, that's awfully strange.
I will tell you, this was an incredibly enlightening experience, and I genuinely mean this. This is going to make me a much better investigator.
Uh-huh.
I mean, to have experienced the FBI from that end of it.
Uh-huh. I don't want to get into any details that your lawyer might not want you to talk about, but can you say anything
which is pretty much everything from this point forward.
Really? Even what the food was like inside, or you can't talk about that?
Oh, worse than even you would imagine.
Uh-huh. But yeah. They sent you to the federal place, not to the tombs.
I was removed from the hotel at about 10 minutes after 4. I was in my permanent cell by a couple of minutes to 8.
Uh-huh. Wow. So to get back to what we're talking about as far as doing the panel, because that's the one thing, when you called me yesterday, that's the thing you were most adamant about, that you wanted to
It just offends me that these guys interfered with that. I mean, again, without going into it in great detail, I mean, I don't think anybody with half a brain doesn't understand that the way that they arrested me and the location that they arrested me at was calculated to have a certain effect.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could have knocked on the door of my house. They could have called me up and said, come on down. I mean, I'm an investigator. What am I going to do? Go into hiding?
Right. I mean, that's the thing I couldn't understand. They can find you anytime. You're not hard to find at all. And they come at a time when you're about to give a very important talk.
Right.
And enlighten a lot of people. Yeah, it is sending a message. You're absolutely right about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the message is, except we want to tell the maximum number of people that we can screw with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So our message to them in response is that we're going to do this anyway.
That's
we're going
correct.
To figure out a way, and this is where we need the help of the listeners, because you guys out there have connections to everything in the world, and what we're looking to do is present this two-hour talk, seminar, revelation of all the information you can find on somebody, someplace in New York during the month of August, I believe.
That would be ideal.
Okay. Yeah, I'm from Florida, mm-hmm. and I would be more than willing to fly back up to New York for the event, but I'm leaving to go to Germany to tour to the Hacker Conference in Darmstadt.
How long are you going to be gone for?
I'll be gone for 16 days, and then I come
so
back.
So we
and
either have to do it before the 25th of August, something like that.
Before the by the 28th.
Okay, let's say somewhere between now and the 28th.
Well, between the 8th and the 20th, because I'm also going to DEF CON.
Okay, between the 8th and the 28th. Apparently, be a hacker, see the world.
I must note that I am in no way a hacker. I'm a writer.
Hacker's not a negative.
No, no, I'm not.
Well,
but
if
I
you
don't
are
wanna,
a hacker,
I don't want to pose as one.
He's
going to
tell us.
Cool,
he'll tell us exactly what you are when we have this two-hour panel. Yeah.
I will tell you that Rick was an extraordinarily ideal subject, not only because he's old enough and active enough that, and by old enough, I mean, you know, held a job for a few years,
right.
And owns a home and so on and so forth, to have developed a personal history that's in the databases,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of what he does is online or related to things that can easily be found online. It took us 4.5 hours. We got 903 pages of stuff on.
Amazing. So again, and I wish we could spend more time on this, but we really have to race through a lot of things this hour. If you're out there, you're a listener that has some access to a space that can hold several hundred people, where we can either pay nothing or pay minimal, because obviously we've already paid for the rooms that we didn't.
And I will have sufficient legal expenses to keep my discretionary money tied up.
Yes, exactly. please write to us, oth@2600.com. I'd like to be able to film this and send a copy to everybody who was at the conference, because they deserve to see it. They deserve to see what was taken from them. And, well, Steve, I'm just glad you're back. I'm glad you're out. And I was never worried that you wouldn't be, but okay.
I can't stick around. I'm going to leave. So if there's anybody who wants to call in right now and offer a space, please do so.
Okay. We'll get the message to you, because we'll be taking phone calls later on. But, Steve, good to see you. And
Thanks
for coming by. Bernie S., are you joining us on the phone now?
Wow. It's all I can say.
Wow. Yes.
About Steve's situation, and the conference was just it's got to be it's the most amazing hacker conference I've been to on this side of the ocean.
Uh-huh. It really was, wasn't it? It was nonstop action. And I know, because I was up for most of it, daytime, nighttime, you name it. And there was always something going on. You guys want to talk about some of the highlights, maybe some of the new things? Red Hack, what do you got?
One thing I thought was really nailed down at this conference was kind of the fusion of the second and the 18th floor. In the past, I've kind of felt like the talks and workshops and socializing were segregated. But this time, with what Ethan did and what Arseny did, the second floor had, you know, screens that had the talks on them all the time. So you might be hanging out on the second floor, you know, maybe learning how to pick a lock, or just hanging out, and you might walk by a talk that you found interesting and just sit down and watch it.
You never felt like you were missing anything.
Right.
It was really nice.
Yeah, that's one thing we tried to do this year, because we've held that space now for three separate times. H2K2, we had the second floor as well. Fifth Hope, and now Hope number 6. And the two before this, we always had problems with the second floor, because everybody would just shoot up to the 18th floor to watch the talks. And then, you know, there'd be a couple of thousand people up there, sure, but downstairs would be this huge expanse where not much was going on. And it just sort of psychologically made it seem like it was emptier than it really was. This time, though, we thanks to the AV guys, we brought the stream down so people could see the conference downstairs as well. And we added a bunch of things that we just didn't have before.
And there was always something going on. I mean, for example, the lockpicking area. There were people there 24 hours a day for all 3 days. I mean, I don't think there's any time you could have gone to that area and not had people there playing with locks and playing with other security devices like that.
There were lots of people, too. There were like 3 tables full of people on both sides all night long learning to pick locks. It was an amazing thing to see.
We had the Segways down there. We had the movie room down there. We had there was just so much stuff, and it was great.
You all ride Segways? We rented 2 Segways, and we were running them back and forth day and night.
Those are the coolest things ever.
They really are. And at first we were kind of afraid, you know, someone's going to go plowing into a wall in one of these things. And
they did.
They did. But, you know, somehow even that was special, because it was fun. It was fun the whole way. Those Segways had 3 different speeds, I believe, too. Right?
They had like trainer speeds, and then they had like
the police
these ridiculous racing speeds. Yeah, it was really, really cool.
But yes, go ahead, Bernie.
I got to say, one of the most impressive things I saw at the conference late one night or early one morning was someone running a Segway while they successfully picked a lock. That was pretty good.
Oh, my goodness, really?
I wouldn't recommend that for the kids at home, but it was pretty good.
Wow.
And that's not easy to do. You need at least one hand to ride the Segway. And then can you pick a lock one-handed? You probably can.
They were bumping the lock, actually.
Okay, that's doable.
They opened a lock without a key.
But we had all these vendors. They had some really cool products you could buy. There was one guy with all this wireless equipment. I mean, anything you wanted related to 802.11, anything you could buy at that place. We had the make people there. We had just all sorts of really cool vendors.
One vendor had a quick turnaround and was making the internet a series of tubes T-shirts.
Right in front of you.
Yeah.
Silk screening the T-shirts.
So that was really funny.
For the people at the conference who saw
that Ted Stevens quote.
Yeah.
For the people at the conference who saw that wonderful graphic at the end of the conference of a series of tubes, you saw a few people wearing this cool T-shirt that had that graphic on them. And if you didn't get one at the conference, because we gave a bunch of them away as door prizes, there's still more available if you go to series of fallopiantubes.com. You really got to go, at least if you're not going to buy the shirt, go there and check out the graphic because it's hilarious.
It's a good shirt.
I'm wearing it right now.
Totally related to what we were talking about or what was talked about a couple of weeks ago on the show.
Bernie, we have to put you on hold for a second because we have to make another phone call. And while we're doing that, we have to free up another line. So actually, Mike, if you could see what's on that line, if there's nothing on that line, just hang it up and we'll call somebody else and tie them into the conversation as well. But Jim, you have some recommendations?
Yeah, the T-shirt ties into something else that I noticed about this conference. For the first time, we're getting a significant number of women, which is something that we've tried to do for years. Personally, I've tried to do it. Everybody knows my ex-significant other who was much involved with the early conferences. And the number of women has significantly increased. There were a number of very serious involved technical panels with women leading them. There were women in attending every talk. And these were not just hangers-on. These were people who actually were in the hacking community, which warms my heart.
There was a group that did open source clothing, and I think they tried to make designs centralized around technical things. So I spoke to them later.
I talked to them. What they're doing is they're developing a database of various designers. So if you design something, they'll be able to tell you who it resembles.
No.
That's crazy.
I think we have Laszlo on the phone. Laszlo, you're joining us here on Off the Hook.
I must say, I heard some of the segues were damaged. Is that true?
Well, superficial damage, like, well, for one thing, a couple of them came without the tools we needed to get them working properly, so we sort of had to hack out a solution ourselves. But I think one plastic button fell off, which really isn't so bad considering all the activity that was going on. And I think...
I rode one at, like, 2 in the morning while drunk.
Well, I don't know if that's something you want to admit to, Laszlo. We... have a strict no drinking and segueing policy at the place.
Well, I must say, I was hoping to go through life without ever riding a segue just so I could have a firm claim to manhood, but I actually enjoyed it.
Uh-huh. No, I didn't see anybody. I saw plenty of frightened people, but thanks to our segue monitors. Kevin, you're one of our segue monitors. People were really scared when they got on these things the first time, weren't they?
Yeah, really scared. Usually just floor it without realizing and hitting a wall.
Yeah, but because
eventually got the hang of it.
You lean forward and the thing moves forward. And if you keep leaning forward, it moves forward faster. If you lean backwards, it starts to slow down and eventually goes backwards.
They couldn't understand the concept of leaning backwards and braking.
Well, one of the things, though, about the Segways is that their use is extremely intuitive. And you can really get the hang of how to ride these things within a minute or two. And unfortunately, you know, there were columns in the way and stuff like
that. No, I thought the columns added to it so much because it gave you something to maneuver around, to do little U-turns and things.
Right, but you teach people how to drive before you put them in an obstacle course kind of thing.
Not if you only have 2 days to do it, you know. and that's what I think was magic here is that people just kept coming back for more.
I think one of the biggest hindrances to people learning the Segway right off the bat was they would, because of their lack of confidence, they'd put one foot on, which mm-hmm. would then kind of push a little bit. And so it would already be moving a bit when they put the other foot on. So then it would just wobble back and forth and they'd either fall or, you know, hold on for dear life, tighten up, whatever.
The Segway tries to counteract the movement that...
But if you were confident and you just stepped on it, 1, 2, it was fine. It didn't start moving in any direction until you... decided you wanted to.
Now, Kevin, nobody really ran away and didn't come back that frightened of it, were they?
Not that I know, but people did ride away and not come back on the Segways.
They rode away into the sunset on the Segway, and that was the end of them?
Well, one ended up on 18. That's really all.
Well, that only happened once, and we quickly found it. All right, well, that definitely was one of the hits of the conference. And, Mike, we had vendors, too, for the first time on the second floor.
Yes.
That were very happy with the turnout.
I think they were. Uh-huh. I was.
Some highlights of the vendors?
Well, we had Autonomedia, which sells neat books, and we had eGold.
eGold, yes.
Yes, which I'm still not really sure what they're all about, but they were there.
I'm sure I can arrange for a phone call to be made to your private extension and an explanation given.
You mean you didn't go to the eGold talk?
No, I didn't go to the eGold talk. I went to very few talks. Not that they weren't good. I was just kind of busy.
I mean, I barely had time to go to the talks I was supposed to be on.
Yeah.
And, The Indecent Off the Hook.
Yeah, I was on that.
That was
that
fun.
I went to.
That was fun. We did a program where we weren't worried about what language we used, and we sort of talked about language,
It was mostly English.
It was, yeah, it was the English language, and we did a little theater, I suppose.
This is the program that I am calling the Duck the FCC Talk.
Well, you can call it that if you want.
Yes, I can.
Go right ahead. But it was definitely interesting, well received, and a number of people came up afterwards and said, you know what, Emmanuel, that was a decent show, which is what I asked them to say at the beginning. But they went and they did it anyway, which is kind of cool. Yeah.
Now, is that one up on the web for
it's
download?
Not, you know, there's been some discussion what we should do. Should we add that to the archives as if it was on BAI? Should we put a sort of a red flag next to it? Should we make it flash? Should we put warning, children, don't go here?
All of the above.
You should just put a note saying that we were fined several $1 million. For
well, every utterance of an obscenity is $325,000. And we were also showing pictures at the same time. And Arseny, you had some of those pictures. What were they?
Well, I tried to find pictures that people might find offensive. And I mean, it was like things like men dressed up like women and like obscene, I guess, decorations on people's lawns. But I mean, it was just kind of funny stuff.
Michelangelo's David.
Yeah, he was there.
Things like that.
I think you should post it on the website and then put the, and then however much money it would have cost to air it on the air show. That should be what you call it.
That's what the show is worth.
Yeah.
I quite enjoyed that when you went to bars around the conference, sometimes cell phones didn't work so well in the bars.
You know, I noticed that too, and there was always some wiseacre with a cigarette box nearby.
Anybody know
anything about that?
It's kind of strange because you can't smoke in bars in New York City.
You can't, but you can hold a box up and all of a sudden your cell phone stops working.
Hey, Emmanuel.
Yeah, Bernie, do you know something about how this might work?
I experienced the same thing. I don't know. There was some magic cigarette box floating around that seemed to shut off any cell phone within line of sight, and we were all stunned by its demonstration. But I wanted to mention that we got a lot of really great mainstream media publicity about the Hope Conference. I didn't see really any negative articles at all. Some pretty big news outlets like ABC News, Washington Post. I mean, there's some good stuff. There was one good story on ABC News written by PC Magazine's PJ Jacobowitz. I just want to read an excerpt of it for you. It says, I was lucky enough to get a few minutes with Hope's comedic MC Laszlo, whose credits include being the host of blah, 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 all kinds of great things. And Laszlo says here, there's a big misconception about this conference, Laszlo said. It's not a bunch of kids trying to hack into the Pentagon. The goal of this conference is to share information. Curiosity is not a crime, and this is a great opportunity for people to learn about surveillance, security, and privacy from experts. And that really says it.
Sure does. And Laszlo, I think you've been at every single conference, haven't you?
I missed the very first one.
Okay, all right.
I went to Beyond Hope, which was at the Puck Building.
Mm-hmm. And that was the only conference not to be at the Hotel Pennsylvania.
Correct. So then that was where I originally met Bernie, because I'd been reporting on his while he was in prison. Emmanuel was calling me and giving some sound bites and stuff, and I was putting it on my nationally syndicated radio feature, The Technophile, and trying to sort of raise some awareness because the mainstream press was not paying attention to the case. But I was quite happy to see the mainstream press at this convention, and they would come up to me after I would introduce somebody, and they would have questions, and they weren't some of the stereotypical questions that Emmanuel's gotten and that all of us have gotten from the press in the past.
I have to say also, you mentioned that you've been at four of the six conferences, five of the six conferences, actually, and many of us have been there for all of them. Steve Rombaum, who just left, has been at all of them as well, well, except for this one, I guess, technically. Jello Biafra, now this is his fourth conference. It seems like we have a lot of traditions going here, but I have to say, of all the conferences that I've been involved with, which is all of them, this one really worked the most smoothly, I think. And I think we have a really good staff of people together, and we've gotten much better at this. But I also have to give a lot of credit to our attendees, because there was not a single incident with the hotel that, at least not that the hotel is aware of. Any kind of, you know, if you read about hacker gatherings, hacker conferences in other places, there's all kinds of trouble, people pulling fire alarms and, you know, stupidity like that. And we had a really good crowd here. We had people who helped us, who added to the talks, to the presentations of various sorts. And of course, we also have to give credit to the hotel because, they're great to us. They really are. And we hope to be back there in a couple of years.
I would highly recommend against touching the metal railing on the roof, though.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't be on the roof in the first place, but I think you touched something that gave you a shock or something like that.
Yeah, I was standing in water and leaning over.
You were standing in water?
Well, the whole roof was covered with water, and it just rained, and there was a lightning storm. So, like, Bernie and everybody said, let's go up on the roof and hold metal things up in the air.
That does sound like something Bernie would say.
And so we went up there, and I touched the railing, and it was an FCC violation, and the words that came out of my mouth.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, now you guys were working on the ham station, I believe, which we, by the way, we had permission from the hotel.
To
so,
be on the roof,
yes. Yeah, we weren't just wandering up there like a bunch of ne'er-do-wells. You guys want to tell us how that went?
It actually went pretty smoothly. We had a friend of ours, Richard, bring a lot of ham radio equipment. He bring an HF vertical antenna and also a dipole, and we had a VHF-UHF high-gain antenna that I brought, and all the equipment that we had there actually worked really well. We had a station set up on the 18th floor where anybody could come around and, you know, just play on the radio. We would explain what the hobby's all about, what the amateur radio service could be used for. Lynn got us a very nice special vent call sign, N6H, so anybody who made a contact with us was able to get a QSL card. What else? Any other comments about
that? I guess the other thing, I understand that we brought from a testing session, 12 people got licenses, ham radio operators at
Absolutely.
The conference.
Absolutely. We had a VE session down by registration on the last day of the conference, so anybody who was interested in the talk that we had Saturday about amateur radio or was interested because they had gotten on the air at the station that we had was able to actually, you know, take a couple of hours study for the exam, and then if they really wanted to pursue getting a license, just hop down to registration in the morning on Sunday and take the exam.
Now, you say 12 people became hams as a result of this. Did anybody fail the test?
People failed.
Really?
But a lot of people took it on a whim, too. They had absolutely no experience with the hobby at all or FCC regulations or, you know, radio theory. And, you know, they took it to see. And a lot of them did really well. A lot of them actually only missed by one or two questions. But we did get 12 new hams, and we did have a couple of people fail. But now they have experience, and now they can go find another VE session and be more prepared.
Generally, if you don't pass the first time, the follow-up exam is the follow-up success rate is very, very, very high. So just taking it, spending the, what was it, $13?
It was like $14 or something, and that's just a fee to cover the materials and get in there and all that other stuff.
So after that, generally, the next time they know what to expect a little bit more, and then they pass.
So you're one of those people that failed. You can stop blubbering now and start studying for the next one. You'll pass. Yes, Bernie?
Emmanuel. Yeah, I just wanted to mention that we made a bunch of contacts from this station, N6H, from the 22nd floor of the Hotel Pennsylvania, where the antennas were. We had an amazing line of sight to the horizon. We made contacts with other amateur radio stations in different parts of the world, Mexico, Canada, around the United States. It was really an amazing thing to have these contacts made, and these people will be proud to have a limited edition N6H QSL card with some really snazzy graphics. And a few people at the station brought their ham radios and were talking to us, and they got QSL cards too. So a good time was had by all.
And this is yet another thing that we did for the first time at the conference that I think worked out really well. Did we mention the hammocks? The hammocks were a big hit?
We had hammocks down on two.
Yeah, now we got a bunch of hammocks down at in the 2600 van. My God. I don't know. Are we supposed to hold on to those for the next time? A million poles. I don't know where they go.
They stay in the box till the next
There
conference.
Is no box. That's the problem. They're
There's
all
no
over the place.
Mike, the box.
Somebody's bright idea was to put them all in one box, and of course that didn't last. We'll talk about that after the show. But
the box exploded.
Yes, Bernie.
Those hammocks were. The hammocks were all set up in the movie area where there was a big screen where you could either watch streamed programming from the 18th floor panel discussions or some really entertaining films from like the Lost Film Festival or. Or other amazing hacker films from yesteryear, and it was sort of like the best features of a drive-in movie theater and a really comfy movie theater. You could actually recline in hammocks, a whole bunch of hammocks, while watching movies, and hammocks had power and Ethernet wired to all of them, so you could hook up your laptop and surf the web or hack or whatever while you're watching these movies. It was perfect.
It was. It really was. We will do that again. Of course, that was Rob's idea. That came from What the Hack. We had the hammocks outside there. I think it was a lot more precariously set up in Holland because
we couldn't quite do what he did in Holland.
I don't think we wanted to do what he did there.
I wanted to, but Rob got lazy.
Well, it fell down a couple of times with like six people at once, and that's we didn't want that kind of thing to be happening inside the hotel. So
we should explain what you're talking about. He had actually welded a whole contraption for holding these hands.
A hammock tower.
It was really cool.
It was, but it's scary when the thing started to tilt and fall. But this was not as scary. It was made
for people.
It's made for Americans, you know.
You know, that's not to say that I didn't see a few people fall out of those hammocks.
Well, a couple of people are larger than they should have been, or not as large as they were, larger than they should have been to get into a hammock.
No, my favorite was when they would sit down and kind of flip over the back, and it was
oh, I did that once, but I did that intentionally. That was fun. You sort of flip over backwards.
No,
intentionally,
It really was cool. The other cool thing is that we're going to have audio up almost immediately, as soon as we go through all the DVDs that have already been made, which is much faster than we've ever done it before, so we're very happy about that.
That was another excellent feature that was very popular, is that right after the talk, only an hour or two after each talk, right? That's probably accurate. You were able to buy a DVD of the talk you just watched. So if you were only there for a couple of hours and you saw something that you really liked, you could buy it literally an hour or two after the talk was over and have it on DVD ready to walk home.
That's right. And we used a credit card machine for the first time at the 2600 table. And we didn't get a lot of the wisecracks we thought we'd get about, you know, hey, a hacker using a credit card machine. Now, people actually used it and it worked. And
Little did they know.
See, this is exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about. We had a wireless connection that I believe is secure, but if it's not, you know, we'll let you know. But no, it.
And even if it isn't, you know, you're not responsible for any charges that you didn't authorize.
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. But I think it gave people more freedom to get things without carrying a wad of cash around with them. And there were so many more things to get. So it was cool from all angles. We've opened up a new email address for those of you at the conference who would like to post your thoughts, send us pictures, or whatever it is that you want to go on the Post Hope website, which will be going up pretty soon, I imagine. Feedback@2600.com. That's right. Feedback@2600.com. Send us any stories that that happened to you, any impressions, any comments that you'd like to pass on, negative, positive, whatever, pictures, movies, diagrams, you name it. Just send it on in, feedback@2600.com, and we'll get it up there.
For anyone that uses Flickr, we've established a tag for Hope, and it's Hope number 6.
All spelled out. Yeah.
And there's actually, like, when I checked, there was, like, 700-something pictures. So if you want to put your pictures on Flickr, you can do that.
Yeah, and we'll I guess, have them all locally, too, so that if Flickr ever goes down someday, we'll still have them here.
Are we going to mirror all that? That's crazy.
Why not? Why not? It's all hard disk space. That's what everything boils down to these days. Okay, before we open up the phone lines, 212-209-2900, for the few minutes we have left, any final comments from inside?
I hope we made some people jealous that, you know, who couldn't come.
Jealous?
That's
not what we're shooting for, jealousy and rage and hatred and all that.
we want people, you know, we want more people to be able to experience this sort of thing. And so in 2 years...
I mean, a lot of people couldn't make it, and they're, you know, perfectly good people.
Okay,
and
circumstances got in the way.
We don't want
those people to feel jealous, and we want to make available the material so that they can see what they missed.
That's right. We do
want people to be able to experience this sort of thing in person and realize that it's really a nice place to be and lots of cool people to meet and lots of fun projects to see. And
better see you in 2008.
I hope that for the people who came, that they came away from the conference with learning or experiencing something new. I mean, I know there's plenty of things I went to that I'd never had any idea about. My favorite probably of them all was Guides gave a talk called Hack the Palate. Which was about food hacking, I love food, so food hacking is, you know, a great topic in my opinion.
Absolutely. Oh, and a couple other things that we had, the Geek Comedy Tour.
That, you know, some of those people were really, really funny.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I'd seen it.
For anybody who does computer support and that sort of thing, I mean, some of them hit it right on the head.
The LED throwies that were everywhere.
Those are very popular.
Yay. Yeah. Okay. Who wants to describe this very quickly? I'm going to take some phone calls.
It's a battery for what? A hearing aid or something?
It's just a standard button cell lithium battery that you take an LED
and you glue them together or use tape or little magnets. And if you put magnets on it, they become throwies because when you throw them, they hang onto anything metallic, like ducts 30 feet above the floor of the second floor.
Which we got down. We got them all down.
Yeah, I know. I was up
we
there.
We found out who threw them up there.
Somebody
the Washington Post threw it up there.
The Washington Post reporter threw those up
yes.
there.
Yes.
I always told you they were trouble.
Yes, they're trying to kill us.
All right. Well, I'm glad we got those because there was a bit of a panic. We had to order those from China, and we had to order them 2 days before the conference because there was a bit of a miscommunication there. But they arrived, and they were a big hit, and everybody had a lot of fun with those.
Yeah, this is something I didn't know, that it's actually cheaper to air freight something from China than to store it in a warehouse in the United States.
We learned a lot this year. Okay, let's take some phone calls. Good evening. You're on the air. Oh, no, I was too late on that one. Let's go over here. Good evening. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
I've got two questions.
Go ahead.
One of them is whether...
Now turn on your radio. You're going to get confused.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of them is whether when you were talking about getting a voting machine next time, did you mean next week or next month or next election?
Well, I meant next conference in 2 years, but certainly I think we all want to do something with an electronic voting, not something clean, not obscene, with a voting machine in the next, however soon we can get our hands on one so we can demonstrate how secure or insecure these things actually are and experiment with them and figure out what the weak points are.
It's one of those things that a lot of people have questions about, and unfortunately they're not a very easy device to get your hands on, so not
and
a lot of experimentation has been
that
done.
You have to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Also, my other question was whether you had any comments on the ruling about the AT&T, the suit against AT&T for maybe disclosing information illegally being tossed out.
Well, I mean, normally we would. Normally this is something we'd be talking about, but this is our hope show, and we want to just focus on the conference for now. But certainly we'll be focusing time on that in weeks ahead. So we'll definitely get to that. Thanks. Thanks for your call. Let's take another one up here. Good evening. You're on the air. Boy, I just got to move faster, don't I? Good evening. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Emmanuel. It's Junes.
Junes, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Did you recover from this past weekend?
Yes, yeah, I'm all rested. And
odds are, if you came to the conference and went through registration, you saw Junes.
Yes, I got to sit down with a bunch of other people. I could have done it without, you know, all the help I had. I actually got to see more of the conference this time than I have in years past.
Well, that's great. That's great.
Yeah, I was happy about that. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. How do you think it went this year compared to previous years?
I think this year was the smoothest year it's ever gone. We had fewer headaches and hassles, and everyone seemed to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think so far this has been our best.
And I got to give a lot of credit to our security team, Big Frank and Kush and a whole bunch of other people, Warlord, everyone out there who really spent what seemed like forever awake and just watching over things, making sure that we were safe, that there were no incidents, and there weren't any. There weren't any. It was one of the smoothest running events, not only hacker events, smoothest running events I've ever seen. So big thanks to those guys. We couldn't have done it without you.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. I guess we'll be seeing you later. And any other comments?
No, I think that's it. Just like I said, I wanted to say thanks to everyone who helped out, and it made things a lot easier for all of us.
Definitely, definitely. All right, thanks, gents.
Sure,
and
thanks.
We'll be in touch. Let's take another phone call. Let's go over here. Good evening. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Emmanuel.
Yeah, speak up, please.
Hi, this is John from Philadelphia. I missed out on the HOPE conference. I was there for the fifth HOPE conference, and I'm hoping that the videos, the VCDs, will be available for HOPE 6.
Well, DVDs, actually. But yes, they will be available fairly soon, a lot sooner than in the past.
Okay, that'll be great, because I had a family member who was sick and I couldn't come, so I'm looking forward to the videos and everything.
And the audio will be up online very soon.
Okay, Emmanuel, thank you very much.
All right, take care. Hopefully we'll see you next time. Oh, the other thing, the movie Urchin made its sort of debut. It's not completely finished, but it was a sneak preview. That's the movie that I'm in, and Fiber Optic, and Bill from Arnok, and a couple of other people from the hacker world. Make guest appearances in, and it's a really interesting film about New York City and a place called Scum City, which lies below. It's it'll give you nightmares, and look for it to come out soon. Film by John Harlecker called Urchin. You saw it, didn't you, Arseny?
Yeah, and I was actually thinking about it the other day. It's like, you know, it's like a no-budget movie, but it makes you kind of think. And you got killed.
I got killed good, yeah. In fact, I got killed in the bathroom, and I wound up firing a gun in a bathroom as I was falling down. You know, it was a fake gun, but still, it was loud. And you have these things in your ear to protect your ears, but it was still so loud. And I actually hurt myself falling down, too, and I drew blood. And people are very impressed by that. When you're in an acting gig and you draw blood, that's like a sign of you really get into the role. And I'm glad that happened. Well, I'm not glad that happened, but I'm glad that I participated in it. Urchin, that's going to be fun when it comes out. And you will have nightmares, most definitely.
I was going to say a lot of people got thanked, and we don't need to leave the network folks out because was great.
Absolutely.
I mean, we had some glitches, but it was still great.
But we always have glitches. Glitches are never going to go away. But it's how we handle the glitches. And I think the glitches were handled just great. I mean, I didn't hear any complaints from any attendees. Oh, yeah, you know, we're complaining all the time because we know how things are supposed to be, and we know that this isn't quite doing what it's supposed to be. But I saw people on the hammocks hanging out, watching talks or watching videos, relaxing and being online through the wireless network, and it all worked. I saw people at talks upstairs on the 18th floor, and they were on the network. And we'd never done that before. We'd never quite gotten it to that stage where it just worked fairly seamlessly throughout the entire space. So, yeah, great credit to them. And also, of course, the AV people for doing the impossible time after time and setting all this up. Oh, and the most amazing thing, Teardown. Teardown. This is...
That always amazes me the most out of any other aspect of the conference is how quickly everything was out of 18. I mean, that was...
What happens is you come to the end of a conference, and normally what goes on is people leave. People just take off, and you gotta break it all down. You gotta put everything back in the boxes, and it takes hours and hours and hours. And in past conferences, we haven't been able to finish it. We just didn't have enough people, and the company had to come and finish it for us, and they charge. They charge a couple $1,000 to do that. And all we said was at the closing ceremonies, hey, if you guys help us out, please stick around for a little while. Help us out. We'll give you a free volunteer T-shirt. And so many people stuck around. I think in a half hour, most of it was done. And Chris, our AV guy, said to me, you know, this just does not happen. This is not possible. And I just witnessed it.
I mean, we got a tour of the space before our conference, and there was some big fancy conference that had been using the space before we were. And this was days after their conference, and they had... probably dozen paid staff tearing the place down, and they were still working days and days after, and they didn't look to be done anytime soon. And we did it with an all-volunteer force in the matter of, I don't know, an hour.
Yeah, yeah. I have to say, you know, I've aspired to the Dutch, you know, the Dutch way of doing things, where people just make the impossible happen. And I think this is the first time I can actually say that I think we're there. I think we've gotten to the point where we actually can do something on that level. And we have so many good volunteers, so many people that know what they're doing, and so many people that just are completely selfless with their time and energy and skills and abilities. So it's a real privilege to be a part of that. And I'm just happy it all turned out. I'm happy that this weekend was a success. And if you weren't there, we'll try to share it with you as best we can in the weeks, months, years ahead. And we hope to see you at the next one. In 2 years, which I assume it'll be 2 years. We don't know yet. We don't know yet if we lost our shirts on this. Usually we don't know the financials until a couple of weeks afterwards. But you know what? Let's not even focus on that right now. Let's focus on the fact that it happened and it was great and we all had fun. And we're going to do it again one way or the other. All right. Thanks, guys, for coming in. We'll be back again next week with another exciting show. Until then, stay free and stay tuned for the Personal Computer Show.
His wife's given up the drinking and he's down to 3 smokes.
listening to WBAI. Okay. Uh-huh. Hey, you're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM. It is July 26, 2006.